Woke up today, smile on my face. May not go my way, still got my faith. So I'll be okay. I'll be okay.
All right, so let's set the scene. We got a pop of Prosecco bottle, the clink of glasses, and the laughter of queens filling the air. Today, we are welcoming back another episode of Prosecco Queens, the podcast where we will sip, spill, and celebrate the stories of resilience, empowerment, and transformation. Today, we're pouring a glass in honor of a truly inspiring queen, someone who has turned pain into purpose, struggles into strength, and lessons into love. She's the host and creator of the Codependent Me podcast, where she dives into the world of codependency, addiction, and the road to healing. With real life experiences, powerful tools, and a heart full of wisdom, she helps people break from toxic relationships and reclaim their lives with the help of her guests. And guess what? I had the absolute honor of being a guest on her show just last week, sharing my own journey with codependency. And let me tell you, Tamala creates a space that is raw, real, and so healing. So grab your glasses and raise a toast, because joining us today is none other than the incredible Tamala Shah. Tamala, welcome to Prosecco Queens. Let's get into it. Tell me about yourself, please. Tell our audience.
Oh my gosh, I have never heard such beautiful words.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, because I don't do a lot of podcasts. So when you offered, I was like, oh, heck yeah. Because
I noticed that.
Right?
And I'll do that as well. I will shout out Podmatch. I know you did that as well. I don't do that as often as I should. I'm going to shout out Podmatch, because that's how we met. And I did notice that. I was like, oh my goodness, I'm so excited. You're going to be a guest on my show. And then I realized you don't even have a guest profile.
I don't. No, I rarely do podcasts. I do some speaking engagements, but I don't really get on podcasts, which, you know, that was kind of my goal in 2025. Because it is a way to get your story out. And that's very important, you know?
Yeah.
It's so wonderful. I spend so much time being a host. It's so great being a guest, right? Yeah.
People learn from our experiences, right? Like, they're able to say, I'm not alone. Look at this wonderful person who has come through whatever we come through, right? Mm-hmm. So tell me and tell our audience about yourself. Like, I know, again, as the guest, I was speaking my brain out about my stuff, but I'm so glad I get to know more about you and hear about your story and how you've come to be as successful as you are.
Thank you. Thank you for that. So I am Tamala Shah. I am, oh my goodness, a holistic coach. I am the founder of Sober Families Matter, which is a nonprofit. We help and support the families of people who are in addiction, because, you know, the person that has the addiction, they go to their resources and they go to their meetings and all of that, but it's not a lot out here for the family.
That's right.
And families, sometimes they don't understand what it is for addiction. I know I didn't.
Yeah, I didn't either.
My mother is a recovering alcoholic. My stepfather is a recovering alcoholic. My biological father was, I say was because he's passed on, addicted to narcotics. My grandfather was an alcoholic. My aunt was an alcoholic. It's just all of this. So it was surrounding me. Right?
Yeah.
So you know that you have this addictive nature. Mine personally wasn't with a drug or alcohol, or it was people. My addiction was to people. So that's where the codependency came in. So I have the Sober Families Matter. And as far as Codependent Me, I have the podcast. I coach people who are recovering from codependency, trying to help them find boundaries and detachment and, you know, how to do things in a healthy manner. And then I also have a radio show on an internet radio show called Get Your Ship, SHIP, Together, All Things Relationships. And that's on Cream City Connection Radio. And you can get there by going creamcityconnection.com. It's on Thursdays at noon Central Time. I bring up different topics about different relationships, but it's not all like physical. It could be a relationship with, what was it last week, with detachment. It was a relationship with, I did a show on letting go, like how to let people be who they are, you know, your relationship with being attached to people. It's tons of relationship, but it's just not, you know, with, you know, like male, female or something like that. It could be a relationship with anything.
Okay. Yes.
Let's see, what else do I do? I think that's it. It keeps me busy. Definitely keeps me busy. But yes, but as far as a personal side on how I got to codependency, it is because of my upbringing when it came to being at home with parents that were alcoholics. You know, my mom, she would pick me and my brother up and, you know, from my granny's house and take us home, and we had to stop at the liquor store, you know. Had to stop there. But in Milwaukee, liquor stores also had snacks. It looks like a grocery store with liquor in it.
Wow, kind of
So
like
it
the
was,
bodegas when I was little in New York.
yes,
Yes.
exactly, yes. So I didn't think of it as going to a liquor store. It was she stopped at the store. I'm gonna
Right.
stop at the store. I can get snacks. I'm gonna get some gummy bears or some chips, you know. And then we go home.
Lighten it, right? Lighten it up a bit.
Absolutely,
Yep.
absolutely. In that 10-year-old brain, right? And we'd get home, we'd do our homework, she'd cook, she'd make sure we were good, and then she'd go in her room. So when she went in her room, I can honestly say I never really saw her drink.
She was
I
functioning.
never really saw her drunk, but I knew she wasn't there. She was definitely functioning, right?
Yes.
So it was my job to ensure, my job in my head, of course, to ensure that my brother was entertained and that all was well. And there were certain nights, there would be certain things that happened. Like one night, she cooked, went and fell asleep. I call it a stupor because you don't fall asleep when you drink until you're drunk, you
That's right. You like black
know.
out. You're, yeah.
Exactly,
Yeah.
exactly. And the house was smoky,
Oh my God.
so she left some food on the stove, and of course that made me think, oh, well, she's obviously tired. Before I go to bed, I'll make sure that the food is off. The responsibility of a 10-year-old, right? So both it was these things that I started doing. Before I went to bed, I would make sure my brother was cozy in his bed. I would make sure that everything was off on the stove. I would make sure that the doors were locked. And those were the things that I should not have been responsible for.
Absolutely not. That was your survival kicking in.
Absolutely.
Your
Yes.
big sister, I
Yes.
know because I've been there. Your big sister, your survival, it just helped create this person that said, I have to do these things. And now you've created a character in yourself
Absolutely. And
as
also,
little mommy doing this
yes,
stuff.
absolutely. And then it was this thing where, okay, so the thing I used to think my mom had a problem with was not drinking, it was smoking. She was a smoker. So I would always, I've never talked about this on anywhere before, honestly,
Well,
because
thank you for sharing. Whatever you're comfortable with,
it's a trip.
you
So
do
I
you,
always,
girl.
thank you so much. Thank you for the platform, because obviously I'm comfortable.
Yeah, good. I'm glad. That's my goal. That's my goal.
Yes. So I always wanted her to stop smoking. So I would do certain things. First I started hiding her cigarettes, and she's like, "Bae, if I'm gonna smoke, if I want to smoke, I'm gonna smoke. Like you
That's
have to."
right.
So I started to do these things to like maybe if I did this, then she wouldn't smoke. Maybe if I did this, and that's the people pleasing,
That's
right?
right. That's exactly it.
So that's where the people pleasing came in, and so all of these things came into my adulthood. So I started realizing after I realized I was codependent that all of my friends needed me to not be the healthy Tamala. They needed me to be the fixer. They needed me to give them all of the advice. They used to call me, "Oh, she's just like Oprah. She's like Dr. Phil. She's all these." Oh, no, it's because y'all were not healthy. You were standing on your own, figuring out your own stuff.
Yeah. And let me caveat
So.
that by saying I understand that completely because they used to call me Mother Teresa because I was the same exact thing. So I feel you're saying this and I can relate to it because it
Absolutely.
was exactly who I was.
Yes, absolutely. And people loved it. There were no boundaries. You could call me all hours of the night. I could be planning on doing something else, and oh, they need me, so I'm going to be there. And I was married, had a couple kids, and I was just like, I don't know what's going on in my marriage, but I'm just not happy.
Yeah.
I'm tired of being responsible. I was finally listening to my body saying, this
Oof.
doesn't feel good. I
Yeah.
feel I'm just drained. I'm exhausted. Got to the point where I would sit in front of the house and not go into the house because I would dread what
Yes.
was waiting for me to be, whether it was fit, because I was fixing all day. I'm fixing at
All
work. I'm
day.
managing this and that and that and this. I'm exhausted. Right?
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
so I finally went to counseling and I was like, we have to figure out what's wrong. Like, what is wrong? What's going on? And she told me, she said, you're codependent. And I was like, what's
Yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Like, read this, go get this. So I immediately went to Barnes and Noble and grabbed all kinds of books, Codependent No More. I went and got a boundaries book by Dr. T Townsend and all of that. And, so I started learning so much about codependency, and it was incredible. It was incredible. I was like, this is my tribe.
Yes.
They understand me.
It's unbelievable when I'm those, like I say, when those like rose colored glasses come off, it is the most freeing thing in the world. Like, let me ask you, because speaking of that, because we know codependency is sneaky as hell.
Oh, yeah.
It starts when we're little. We don't realize that it's happening, and we think that's just who we're supposed to be, right? So for you, based on what you've learned and what you've been experiencing and what you've been hearing over the years, what are some of, for you, the most common misconceptions about codependency that you wish more people understood?
That we're weak. Mm-hmm. I tell people all the time, and that's the reason I do what I do, honestly. Honestly, because when people say, oh, you're codependent, the head goes down. No. It's their strength. You know, their strength. You have to be a strong individual.
Yes.
To live in this world. So when people say that you're codependent, they put their heads down. And it's just like, no, there's no weak. There's no, the weakness in it is us not being strong for ourselves. Right.
Say it again for the people in the back.
Louder for the people in back.
Please.
Strong for ourselves. That's the only weakness in it. Other than that, you have put all the people on your shoulders and you're able to handle it. You can look at a situation and know exactly what needs to happen.
Yep.
Now they should figure it out on their own, but you've already figured it out. Right.
And you're literally raising yourself.
Oh my gosh. All of the time. It is. And that's the one thing that got me growing up. Honestly, people will be like, don't worry about her. She's good.
Yes.
Oy. No. Don't worry. She's good. And that's the strength, right? That comes with it. The weakness in it is you just don't know when to say no.
That's right.
You don't know when to have those boundaries and stand on them. You don't know how to listen to your body. Mm. All of those things can be switched.
Yeah.
Learn those characters. I call them, I will say flaws. You find those character flaws and you build on them. But there is no weakness in codependency as far as I'm concerned. That's the way I look at it. And that's the reason I do what I do, because I want people to know you don't have to be ashamed, right?
That's right.
This happened for a reason. It happened for a reason. So you got to go back to that childhood and figure out what that is.
That's right.
And once you figure that out, then you just build on it. It's like a pyramid. You know, the very bottom, Get your base.
You
know, you just keep building and building and building. When you get to that top, oh, baby.
That's when it opens up. That's when life, you see that life completely different. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes. It's like the, it's a hotel in Vegas. It's the pyramid and it has this light that comes out of the top of it, right?
Yeah.
That's how I feel about me. I'm just like, oh my God, I am shining.
Okay? It's that spiritual awakening. It's when you realize you don't have to please anybody.
Right.
And the people that are most advantageous of you pleasing them are the ones that take it the hardest when you finally put up boundaries.
Absolutely.
You know, I say it all the time, and I've said it in my other episodes as well. Shame is not an emotion. Shame is a learned behavior. And if, like anything else, you've learned it when we're young, we all have, you can unlearn it.
Absolutely.
You can unlearn those character flaws that were ingrained in you when you were little because of survival and trauma. And now you can take the steps to rebuild yourself, as you use so eloquently the pyramid, rebuild yourself and shine. And there's no timeline in your life when you can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a beautiful thing. And I try to, you know, it's one of the things that I talk about when I'm speaking to people, because I'm like, if I am what codependency looks like, you know, I'm recovering. Don't get me wrong. I'm recovering codependent.
Of course.
But baby, I've always been happy. It was just learning what was what. Now, again, the sadness comes in not knowing when to have the boundaries.
Yes.
But when you sit back and you can look at, I don't have to rescue everyone. Mm. Right?
Not everybody's my responsibility.
That's right. Mm. I don't have to feel guilty because you did something.
Yep.
It's not on me.
Yep.
Oh, I get so excited just thinking about it. Yes, I'm loyal, but only so far.
Ooh, I get chills.
Okay. I am loyal to myself more than I am loyal to you.
It takes balls.
I'm here to tell you. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing, okay, I wish I had them with me. I bought these glasses. The glasses literally say no. No.
Oof.
I pull
Love
out
it.
my no glasses on somebody immediately.
Well, I'll
Leave
tell you what's funny. My last episode, the wonderful girl came out, she had Prosecco earrings, and now you with your no glasses, I'm gonna have to get me a whole set of everything because I'm feeling it all. I love it.
Yes, absolutely. But you know, I want your audience to know that boundaries, they are set to make sure that you have a healthy relationship with everyone.
That's right.
You are teaching people how to treat you. You are being the example. And the biggest person that you have to have boundaries with is yourself. Because if you don't honor your own boundaries, people will run all over you.
Yes, they will.
You have to wonder, you have to have an understanding about the expectations, because the people who are angry about your boundaries are the ones who have been able to live a wonderful life because you did not have them.
That's
Okay?
exactly it. It's
Yes.
exactly it.
You have to expect those individuals to growl when you start setting your boundaries. You have to expect it because that's how you know you're doing it right.
That's right.
I always give people the bear
I
concept.
was just gonna say, you mentioned that. I was gonna tell you, please tell the audience this, your bear concept, because it's fabulous. Yes.
So if you have been giving a bear honey and sweets and all the things that's bad for it, okay? And then all of a sudden one day you go, no, you know what? I've not done this bear any justice. And I've put all of this weight on myself with all of this honey on my back. Let me give the bear what it needs, which is berries, fruits, nuts. Okay? Fruits and nuts. We'll just say the fruits and nuts. And then you tell the bear, I'm sorry, this no longer serves me. From here on out, I need to give you fruits and nuts. And the bear goes, no, That's not what I want though. I like the honey. No, we're gonna do the honey. We're
Yep.
gonna keep doing it. And I'm like, no. But the honey's not good for me. For me, I have to give you, this is your choice. Fruits, nuts. That's what you get. And a bear goes, no, I said I want the honey. And that you've been giving it to me. That's what I expect for you. You cannot give in.
That's right.
You let that bear know, okay, if you want something from me, you can have fruit or you can have nuts. That's it. And that bear is going to growl. Roar, give me the honey. And that's to try to intimidate you,
That's
to
right.
make you back, go back to who you were.
Yeah.
Don't go in that shell. No, you stand tall on that boundary and say, okay, this is what I'm offering. You get this or
Or
nothing.
nothing.
Or nothing. And feel strong when you walk away if they say no. Stand 10 toes down on that no. Because I guarantee you, when you walk away and that bear goes and he gets nothing, he's either going to come back and say, you know what? I'll take the
I'll
fruit.
take what I can get.
I'll take what I can get.
Yep.
Or the bear is going to say, you know what? You're no longer serving me. And guess what? That's beautiful too. Because
Amen.
that bear was only there to use you for your honey.
Yep. I say that too. I'm like, you know what? If they're the ones that get the most upset and then all of a sudden they're not there anymore, it's because you know for a fact they were not supposed to be there the whole time. They were only using you for what you could do for them. It was a one-sided relationship to begin with.
Absolutely.
The people that love you and will be there for you the most are the people that will accept your boundaries even when it's hard for them. They may take an adjustment period. They may say, wow, I'm not used to this. Is she really going to stick with this?
Yes.
Right? Let's
Yes.
weigh this out. I'll tiptoe sometimes and see if this is still going to happen. Maybe not consciously, because we do things sometimes, we're so used to doing things, right? And I think that's it's just such a fantastic analogy, because it just makes me say to myself too, it makes you look at all the different people in your past that have come and gone, and you go, huh.
Yeah.
In hindsight, was it something that I wasn't doing anymore?
Right.
Or was that just because it was supposed to be for that season and it's not? So it does make you also hypercritical of some of your other past relationships, which I think is what's so important about that healing and learning to move on
For
from
sure.
those things.
And it's just very important, because if people honor your boundaries, it's such a beautiful relationship.
Yeah.
And I try to tell people all the time, boundaries are not just one-sided. You know, if I sit down with someone about boundaries, what, you know, what's good for me and what's healthy for me, I always ask them, so tell me what's healthy for you.
Yes.
Because that's important to me.
That's
I
right.
want it to be as important to me as my boundaries are for you.
Right.
Honoring each other's boundaries is just letting people know what road we can go down together. And if we're not thinking alike, thinking the same, then maybe we're not good for one another.
Mm.
And if we're not, that's okay. It's okay. And also, boundaries are fluid. Just because this is my boundary today does not mean I can't change that boundary tomorrow. Because if I'm changing,
that's a good point.
On a daily basis, I'm not who I was last week or the year before or 10 years ago. Of course, my boundaries are going to change as well. Right? So it's okay. And when those things change, you just have the conversation. And then you can decide, and the person can decide whether they want to be in this. You don't have to stay in this. I will not, I promise, I will never, ever beg anyone
to
deal with me. Not
That's
ever.
Right. And not
and
anymore.
I am an incredible individual.
Mm.
Incredible. So if you decide, if you deem that I am not worthy to be in your presence, okay. Because I promise you, you're going to be the one that missed out.
I have gotten into saying that over the past couple years as I've been on my healing journey. It's so incredible you say that, because there were times I've said it to myself and I'm like, maybe that sounds awful. But like in my head, but I have gotten to the point of saying that, whether it's a male relationship or, which I've had a few since my separation, but where I'm like, you know what? And to my ex as well, I'm like, you know what? I'm freaking amazing. Like, look what you've had in the past.
Absolutely.
Look what you screwed up in the present.
Yes. Yes.
Do you, I'm like, did you not know who I was? I said, well, guess what? Now you're going to see this up-leveled person.
Absolutely.
Who is 10 times more amazing than I was, because I let myself get to that point where I wasn't and I didn't feel that way anymore. And I think it's amazing that you said that, because you just saying that now made me feel better.
See, that's what
Thank
I'm
you.
Telling you.
It did.
Oh, I'm so glad. I mean, it's once you've done the work, like, Lord knows I was not here when I first started at all, right? You know, you have to go through the low self-esteem where, you know, you have to go through the affirmations.
That's
I am
right.
Wonderfully and beautifully made. I am, you know, I'm the head and not the tail, you know.
Ooh.
One, let me tell you, the thing that you need to do, I had a woman on my podcast yesterday and I said, you know, I speak about the affirmations all the time.
Me too.
I love them.
I
write, oh my gosh. But she said the other thing that you can do is go to the Bible and pull scriptures. Okay.
Write them down.
Put them on your mirror, because God will tell you how great you are.
Yes.
My mother, when I was little, I had this little magnet and she was keeping on the refrigerator. It had my name at the top. Well, it had Tammy. Didn't have Tamala. Lord knows you can't find Tamala anywhere. Anyway, but it had Tammy on it. And it said, I know I'm somebody because God don't make no junk. Not God doesn't make any junk. God don't make no junk.
Love it.
Okay. I was like, so she was pouring that into me as a baby and I didn't realize it. And I happened to be going through like a box or something a few years ago and I found it and I said, oh my gosh, thank you.
That's right.
I know I'm somebody because God don't make no junk.
Love that. I'm
telling your audience, you are somebody. Mm. Don't you let anybody tell you that you are less than.
That's
because
right.
The only way that it can be true is if you believe that.
That's right. Speak that power into yourself.
Absolutely.
Radiate it.
I was in the bathroom one day washing my face, and it was the first time that I actually felt this from the depth of my soul. I looked at myself and I said, oh my gosh, I am so in love with you.
Oh.
And I could.
It's incredible.
I could feel it all over my body.
You just got me emotional. It's incredible.
Oh,
like emotional right now. It's incredible.
It's to be in that place where I could really, because I'm telling you, I've been in a place where I don't like my body. I don't like the skin tone. I don't like my eyes. I don't like my lips. I don't, You know what? When you have, first of all, people who are codependent, they have big hearts. They just do.
Unfortunately, it's true.
It's just what it is.
We just give, 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 give.
Absolutely.
And people just take.
And people take advantage of it, and that's where the crime is. But you know what? If you can take that and mold it into that and put it inside of you,
superpower.
Superpower. And understand that people, like one of the things that I had to remember, and it really got me in the headspace, that when you are codependent and you do things for people when they should be doing it for themselves, it's actually a disservice to them. You have to think about the butterfly. And my mother became sober for the first time, when I was 15. She sat me down and she said, "Baby, I want to sit down with you and talk to you about, mommy has to go to the hospital and I'm either going to be gone 30 days or I'm just going to be gone at night." And I was just like, what kind of illness is this?
We right.
30 days. Like, what is, explain to me what this alcoholism is, you know?
Yeah. Especially because so, you weren't aware that was
I didn't
anything
know anything
even wrong.
About it. Yeah. Didn't know anything about it. And she was smart enough. She says, she's a smart woman. She's my girl. She put me in Alateen. It was, well, Alateen is now Al-Anon.
Al-Anon.
But Alateen. Yes. So I was 15 in this, and they bought me a book about, you know, alcoholism for your parents and all of that. And in the back of this book, it talked about how your parent was a caterpillar. And then they were in a cocoon. And then they became this beautiful butterfly, right? But as a codependent, we have to remember that when we do things for people that they should be doing for themselves, it is not helpful. You have to think about these people being in a cocoon, right? They've already gone through they're not a caterpillar anymore. They're in the cocoon. And you see this movement. You see this movement and it looks like they're struggling. And so what you want to do is you want to help them
break out,
break it, then they can get out.
Yes.
But what you don't understand is that the fluttering is them strengthening their wings. So that noise, that's them strengthening their wings. So when you break it, you retard the progress of them becoming a butterfly.
They have to do it themselves.
They have to struggle. They have to struggle. So let them be strong enough for them. Pray for them.
Pray for them.
While they're in there and they're just getting stronger. And when they're strong enough, they'll break out and they will fly.
That's why they say you can't change a person. You cannot do it for them. You can't do it for someone with an addiction, with a mental illness, with anything. They have to want to be able to do it themselves. And all you can do is support them.
That's right. And because if they're doing it for you, it's not going to last.
That's right.
You have to do it for themselves. They have to do the work. They have to do the healing. All the things.
And that actually is leading me to my next thought. In your experience, based on your experiences, I know in your teachings, you use obviously tools like boundaries. You also talk about counseling and self-love. So for you, was there a specific tool that made the biggest impact for you? Other than your no glasses, because I love those.
Listening to my body was imperative.
Amen.
I didn't realize that the body tells the tale. Anything that you're feeling, if there's like, okay, I used to be upset with my husband, and you know, codependents do not like to argue. And if you do, way out of the, you're going off because you've held in so much, right?
That's right.
So you don't like confrontation. So what would happen is I would get a lump in my throat. And that would be because I wasn't speaking.
That's your throat chakra.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. That's your throat chakra.
It's just stuck.
Yes. Just stuck.
Or if I needed to have a conversation and I knew he was coming home, I would get anxiety in my belly.
For me, it was my stomach. It was my stomach always. Yes.
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 You know, so if you listen to your body, you know that, you know, when things are not right.
Amen.
You know, when you need to free something, you may need to figure out what it is that you need to free. But you definitely need to free something. Something is not right. Something is not aligned, right? Yep. So if I just listen to my body and try to figure out, well, what is it? Okay, body, what are you telling me? Let's talk about it. What is that feeling that I'm having? Where is it coming from? Where did that trigger come from? Did it come because he's coming home? Did it come home? I mean, did it happen because of a conversation that we need to have when he comes home?
Yeah.
Why is this happening? What do I need to do to free this feeling in my body?
Yeah.
Safely. Right.
Amen.
I have a workbook. It's a codependent me workbook.
Oh, that's awesome.
It goes through all of the things, codependency, right? So like the whole thing about the body and all of that, it's in here. It goes through what is codependency, your goal plan, excuse me, establishing your boundaries, when to detach. It has journal entries. It has a body check-in where you can
check. Oh, that body check-in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
People don't talk about codependent slips. Slips are just like when you fall off the wagon.
Yes.
Where you get so in, because this is the thing. When we do for people, we get this adrenaline rush, right?
That's right. That dopamine kick.
That dopamine, yes, it feels good.
Yeah.
So when you know what that feels like, it's like, I think I just did something I shouldn't have done. I feel it, right? You may have just had a slip. It's okay. Just jump back on.
So I talk about that in this episode coming out on Tuesday, exactly that, because I talk about surviving breakups, which talks about specifically how you can fall back into old patterns. You can get back with your ex, and sometimes it's right and sometimes it's not, but we have slip ups and we have slip backs, and that happens. And realistically, it's about realizing when you're falling back.
Right.
And if that's what you want to do, or if you need to course correct and go back, because any relationship, not just romantic, but even a relationship with yourself,
right,
is important to understand what's going on there. And we're allowed even relationships with ourselves to slip up. So exactly what you're saying. It's wonderful.
Yes. So we've got that. And then I've got affirmations and a gratitude worksheets, excuse me.
Well, I don't know where you sell that, but if it's on your website, but send me the link, because I want one.
Oh, absolutely. I will send you one, actually.
Oh, I want one. Thank you.
So it is on my website, it's on codependentme.org.
And I'll be putting all that in the show notes as
well.
Thank
you.
Yes, of course.
Yes. And then you can also get it on Amazon as well. But I love that. And then I co-wrote a book with my mom. So as we were going through this beautiful situation, she was kind of fresh in recovery this last time. She's been sober now for 13 years.
Congratulations. That's amazing. And that's not easy. That is work every day.
It is work every single day. She makes it look good. Don't get me wrong.
But
she definitely, she works it. But probably about maybe 8-9 years ago, I was in the shower and God downloads to me when I'm around water. So normally if I'm writing or something like that, I go to Tampa, you know. So, and then in the shower downloads. So it was like this download of this book. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I jump out and I find some paper and pen. And I'm writing and writing and writing. And I tell my mom, I go, Mom, God told me about this book that we need to write, because it's going to tell about your alcoholism that led to my codependency, and it's going to be fantastic. And she said, God didn't tell me that. I said, oh, okay. Okay. That's fine.
You're like, well, just take my word for it.
I was like, okay. I started writing, because I know my God. I know his voice. I know what he says, right? So I let her go on. I'm here to tell you, I let her go on. 6 months later, she walks in my room and she goes, Tam, it's time. And I go, time for what? And she goes, it's time to write the book. Oof. And I go, I have 4 chapters written. I'm good. She was like, you wrote anyway. I said, I believe my God.
That's right.
I do. And we wrote separately.
Wow.
And we took about 3 months. And then we got an editor to put our chapters together. And we have this beautiful book called God Turned Mommy's Wine into Water.
Oh,
yes. It's so awesome. And it
just the title alone.
I know.
Don't judge a book by its cover. Absolutely not. Just the title alone. I was like, I felt that in my pit, like in my stomach. Yes. Like that was just like, oh my God.
Yes. Because I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. But it tells, you know, her childhood, the different things that she went through. It tells my childhood and, you know, so forth. And it is a beautiful song and dance. And I'm so proud of it, because a lot of people used to ask me all the time, how did you become codependent? And I'm like, it comes from childhood. It's always some type of situation that happened most times, maybe not all the time, but most times it's when children were put in a place where they weren't able to be the child. They had to take an adult role. And people will say the adult failed them and they had to take over. I don't like to say that because I feel as though adults do, most parents do the best that they can.
Amen.
With what they have.
Yeah. Right?
So there's a reason that my mom reacted and was the person that she was in childhood, in my childhood, right? And it probably led to her childhood. It was because of her childhood. So I'm not out to judge her. I am out to keep the flashlight on me and heal me.
Yeah.
So that's what I want people to know. And I say that a lot in my coaching. Keep the flashlight on you. If
For
you
once.
Keep the flashlight on you, amen, then you will shine.
You know, it's so funny that you say that, because I've thought of a lot of ways. I've always said, for me, it took me a long time into my 30s to stop blaming my mom. Because we didn't have a very good relationship growing up, because she was raised the same thing with a divorced mother in the 60s. She was a kind of a party girl. So my mom was kind of, even though she was raised by her grandmother, she was also kind of the big sister. She had to work early. She had to leave, all those things that, you know, so raised very hard.
Yeah.
And then now in the 80s, you know, you're having kids and you're raising your kids just as hard as, you know, we know culturally you're there to be seen, not heard. You know, you're not going to embarrass me. There was no connection really, other than this is my mom, right? You love your parents because they're your parents, but that was it. And it was like a lot of corporal punishment, right? At least on my side. And I look back at what you just said, reminded me of something that I don't even think I've ever said on my podcast. I've told people that know me. And we think about, what is it about, when is it in our childhoods that we can, all of a sudden, we know there was a shift? And we don't realize until we're older that this is what causes this stuff. And for me, I was about 11 years old. And I just want to tell this story really quick because it ties in so much to what you were just saying, because it helps people, I think, really think back to where was that shift in my life. If I can remember it, because a lot of people can't remember it, that I really felt I'm in this alone. Mm. And for me, I was about 11 years old. I was like fourth grade, right? And I had my first little crush and my first little boyfriend, you know, whatever a little 11 year old boyfriend is, whatever.
Absolutely.
And we were together for like a month, again, whatever that means at 11. And I remember one day at going to school, right? And I find out my oldest friends, well, he doesn't want to be considered my boyfriend anymore, whatever it was. I was heartbroken. I was devastated. I'm 11. I like this boy so much. I mean, like, I'm all funny looking and, you know, chubby and small myself, whatever the case may be. At 11, you're all awkward, right?
Yeah.
And I remember going after school, in the room with my sister. We shared a room in our apartment in New York. And I said, I'm really sad about this. My sister's 9. Like, what is she going to do and say? Just sit there and listen, right? Like, she was like, okay, 8, 9 years old.
Yeah.
And I said, I feel like I need to talk to mom about this. And she was like, okay, good luck. You know, because even then she was like, yeah, I don't know what you think that's going to help, right? But you want to go to your parents for comfort, regardless of how, of anything else, regardless of what you know of them, who they are. You want comfort from your parents. I remember going into her room and she's sitting in the bed having her after work snack. She's watching her novella. And I walk in, I said, mom, can you, and you see how vividly I remember every detail because it stuck to me my whole life. And I walked in the room and I said, mom, can I talk to you for a minute? And she said, yeah, make it quick. I'm watching my show. It's like, okay. So she pauses the show. And I said, so something about like, I got broken up, but he said he don't want to be with me, whatever I said to her. And she literally just looked at me and was like, don't worry about some stupid boy. Now leave me alone. I'm watching my show. And I walked out the room. And after that, I walked to my sister's room. And I remember realizing at that moment, I'm alone in this.
I was going to say, she had no clue what she did was let her. She let you know, I can't count on you with something that's very dear to me. It may not seem important to you.
Yep.
But it's very important to me.
Yep. I can't trust you with my feelings.
Right.
Yes.
You didn't see me.
That's right.
Oh,
and I'll never forget it, because that was exactly the moment I said, I can't ever go to her again for these things.
Oh my goodness.
I was 11 years old. So it just made me think about your situation where you were saying you were 10 and you just all of a sudden went into this mode where you realized this is what my role is. This is now how I have to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And it didn't, you know, it's so crazy because it just continued, you know, it was definitely confirmed. It was confirmed when she would fall asleep with a cigarette in her hand and burn the couch up under her. You know what I mean? And you
my
know,
mother went through the same thing with her mother. Yeah.
And it's unfortunate. And, you know, it's just like when me and mom, after we wrote the book, we crossed the, you read it, you read it. And so I had to tell her, you're going to read things that you don't know about. And because I lived my own, I signed,
of course.
They never had her signature at my school. Never. Oh. You know, you would think a mom would be like, oh, am I supposed to sign some paperwork at the beginning of the year? No. Report cards, everything. She never, I did everything.
You raised yourself.
I did.
Yes. So it
was like, there are certain things that you're going to read that you don't know about. I know you don't. Not because you didn't love me, not because, you know what I'm saying? But it's just what it is.
Right.
And this is what I told her. I said, I want you to know that I don't want you to feel guilty about anything because I love me. I'm an amazing individual because of what I went through.
Yes.
Some of it had to have a whole lot of therapy.
Oh, but, hell yeah.
But guess what? I'm amazing.
Yeah.
I am amazing. And there is no guarantee that I would be who I am today if any of that had been easier.
Oh, say it again.
So free yourself now before you read any of that.
Yeah.
And growing up, probably until 35, we just weren't close. I was always very close to my aunt, who was like a mom to me. Mm-hmm. And she had some jealousy there. You know, my aunt is like her younger sister by like 3 or 4 years. We were like, oh my gosh, like she was everything to me.
Yeah.
Sometimes that was hard for her to see, but she was the one that was there when I needed.
Yeah, of course.
So, you know, but me and mom today, we have this beautiful relationship, and I'm grateful to be able to say that we were able to sit down and have certain conversations and me be able to free her from her guilt, even though like certain times, like she will never, I won't say I won't tell her about it, but I'll tell her not to listen to this interview, not because it's not a great interview, not because it can't help other people, but because her guilt.
Yes.
It really hits her when she hears about what I went through as a child. Yeah. It really tears her up.
Yeah.
So I'm like, no, you're not that 18 year old that had me.
That's
you're
not right.
35 year old. You're not that person anymore. So you can't feel that guilt. I need for you to be who you are today.
Exactly.
69 year old, beautiful individual.
And that's such a blessing, right?
Yes. That loves her grandchildren, loves her great grands, loves me in ways that, you know, we talk all the time. It's so beautiful, but I'm lucky. Yeah. I'm lucky when it comes to that. I have so many friends whose parents will not even see their side.
Oof, I know.
You know what I mean?
I know.
They don't even acknowledge the pain that they went through when they were children.
Yeah.
So I'm so grateful for that. So that is a blessing for me. However, I think that being able to free her and forgive her made it easier for me to move on in my life and be who I am
today. Of course. Of course. And you were able to express your boundaries.
Yes.
You were able to say, what now? I'm older now. I know better now. And now it's my turn.
Absolutely.
It is my turn. It's like, I've taken care of you and these situations long enough. It's my turn. You know, it's so funny that you mention about there are people that don't talk about it, parents that don't acknowledge it, you know, and I'm the same way. Like, I don't even really tell my mother. She knows I do my podcast, obviously, but I don't really tell her anymore. Go make sure you go listen to these episodes. I'm like, if you want to, you know, it's there, go for it, whatever. But I have to say ahead of time as well, I talk about my life. Mm-hmm. I talk about my past. These are real events. They're not things I'm making up. And a lot of times, because of denial, parents have a lot of denial and guilt. Mm-hmm. They'll sit there and go, I can't believe you said that out loud. Well, guess what? It's also cathartic for me. This is we didn't have social media back then. And yet we were all raised somehow the same. Explain this. Like, I still like it's an awe. I have always found myself in awe when I'm like, how do people around the world do the same exact things? We didn't have no way to keep in touch with each other. It just was the way generationally things happened. To this day, you know, Or not really now. I think my mom is more open-minded now as she's gotten older. But just a few years ago, she would look at me and my sister and be like, "Oh, you're such little liars."
Oh.
And I used to be like, me and my sister be like, "We're both lying." Like,
Oh
because it was that denial that she had from shame, right?
my God.
And I got
Yes.
to a point when I started saying to myself, "I'm not blaming you anymore.
Right.
I can't, anything that I've done in my adult years was my choices. Yes, I made certain choices because I didn't know better and all I saw was certain things and I thought that's the way things were supposed to be. But at a certain point, as an adult, you're making your own choices. And now you have to come through those. My dad just recently, we started having some really deep conversations, and he would sit there and cry because of all the guilt he felt of not knowing things we were kids that we went through, whatever. And I was like, "Dad, I get it, but what's done is done.
Yeah, free
You
yourself.
know, we raise our parents just as much as they raise us. It's like kids raise." I look now and I'm like, "I'm just going by the seat of my damn pants raising these kids." I'm like, "There's no way in hell I'm perfect. I'm sure I've traumatized them more ways than I'd like to
Oh
admit.
my
And I'm
goodness.
aware of it, so I try to fix it every day." But imagine not being open enough to be aware of it.
Right, that's it. Because the goal is to live authentically ourselves, right?
Yeah.
They didn't know that.
Nope.
They were people pleasing. They were trying to keep up with the Joneses and, do this and do that, and you have to be this and be that. It's a lot.
Assimilate generational traumas, passed downs. I mean, keep
Absolutely.
your mouth quiet. Never speak about what's going on in your
But
household.
yes, what happens in
Woof.
this house stays in this house. If
Woof.
that is so sad,
Yeah.
and I know that, the trauma is passed down because, if we think about our grandmothers or and grandfathers, there are certain things. It may be a little bit different than our parents, but it's certain things that we saw in them that we just thought, "Oh, it's grandmama. It is what it is." You know what I
Right.
mean? My
Exactly.
grandmother would
Exactly.
do things like, okay, so she had a fence around our house. And when friends would come over, we'd walk home from school, she'd go, "You need to stand on the inside of the gate, and they have to stand on the outside of the gate." Like, what does that mean? Why? If somebody comes in, what does that mean?
Right. But you were used to it.
It was just like, but now that I'm older, I'm like, something must have happened to her, and somehow
Yep.
she feels like that's a protection. Somehow, right?
Yes.
She was protecting me by having me
Yes.
on the inside of the gate. Now, I don't know why she wanted to protect my friends. But okay.
She didn't want any responsibility. As soon as someone's inside that gate, they're her responsibility if something
Absolutely.
happens.
Absolutely. So that there is something from her childhood or her upbringing that made that happen, right?
Yes.
So it's so many reasons that we do so many different things.
Yeah.
It's just, but we can only continue to try to be better, try to grow, and teach our children to be authentically themselves.
That's
And
right.
when they want to say no, give them the right to say no.
Full stop.
They want to have boundaries, give them the right to have boundaries. One thing that, like, okay, my grandkids come over. They're like, I'm like, "Come give Tima a hug." No, I don't really want to hug you.
Exactly. That's a huge one for me.
Their parents will go, you better not tell them they have to come over here. They don't have to hug me. If they
Yep.
don't feel like that's what they want to do in this moment, it doesn't mean they don't love me. It
That's
means that
right.
they don't want to hug me right now. Why is it that we put so much weight? It's
All
not
the time.
disrespectful for them to feel the way that they feel at that moment.
That's right.
It's okay. Now, what you need to do is go, "Well, is everything okay?"
Yeah. Yeah.
Ask the question.
Yep.
Don't punish them for something.
I say
Ask
it all the
the question.
time. I say all the time, I say, "Go say hi to your grandparents. They're here," or whatever the case would be. And my son will be in his room and he'll run out. And at that point, if he could walk out and be like, "Hi, Leila," or run and give his grandmother a hug. It's just, there's none of that force, because I say that all the time, is that we had a bad habit when little. We had to kiss and hug on people we didn't know, and your creepy uncles or uncles, quote unquote, the ones that weren't actually your uncles but just were around, you know. And you always had to have somebody lipstick on your face and touching you. And I was like, it didn't matter how close you were. There was sometimes you see how many kids are always like, "Ugh, so here's so and so always kissing me on the mouth or always putting their face," and you just had to accept it. That's traumatizing.
Absolutely. That is not respecting their boundaries.
That's right. Because a lot of times when we were growing up, kids weren't seen as people.
Thank you. I refuse to have mine do that. I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna do it.
Agree. So let me ask you, because based again, I'll say on your experience and all the interviews you've done and everything you've heard and learned, many people feel so stuck in their patterns up until God knows what ages, right? So what's one small step someone can take today to start breaking free?
One small step that they can take today. Now, some people may not feel like this is a strong, a small step, but being real with yourself. Be real with yourself. That's the first step to the work. Because in the work, unless you are real with yourself, if you are lying to yourself, then you can't help yourself.
That's right.
When I first started this journey, I was told that I needed to look in the mirror and tell myself about myself. And that's just not the good stuff. That's not, ooh, girl, you got a cute smile. Ooh, you got a nice personality. Ooh, you love hard. It had to be real. It was, you're a liar. You're a manipulator, right? In order to heal a thing, you have to name a thing.
Self-awareness.
Absolutely. Be real with you. We are beautiful all with who we are. Absolutely. If
Amen.
nobody ever changes again, you are beautiful in who you are. Yes, right? But get better.
Every
Be real
day.
with yourself. Be real with you. If you have certain flaws, in order to not to change it, you have to actually see it. You have to acknowledge it. So it may not feel like a small step, but I feel as though it is.
Oh,
Be
it
real
is.
with you.
It is.
Absolutely.
It does take time, to look in that mirror. And so many of us have gone through things that we look in the mirror and we do not recognize the person staring back at us. And whether we never knew who that was, or we lost the person we were, or we're trying to say, or we let someone else suck that soul and that spirit out of us, and all you see is hollow. I saw hollow eyes. I was like, who? I was heavier and saw hollow eyes. And I'm like, who the hell is this whiny ass little person when I knew that was never who I was? And then I realized it was because I allowed the influence of other people's stuff and problems on me, and it sucked me dry, and it forced me to look deep inside. And I think what you're saying is spot on for what it's worth. Self-awareness is hard as hell.
It is. That's how you know what when you don't want to deal with this, and you don't want to, have this in your life, and you have to take a hard look at the people that are around you. Because we surround ourselves with what we're comfortable with. And if you've been a people pleaser all of your life, you're dealing with people who want to be pleased. That's not who you should have around you.
And so many people are so scared of what that means. Who am I going to lose? Am I going to be
Let
lonely?
him go.
And you realize, you know what? Being lonely and being alone are two completely
Oh,
different
I'm here
things.
to tell you.
Completely. I would rather be alone and happy than be lonely with 1,000 people around me.
And I think the other thing is, real quick, I know I'm talking a lot, but
Oh, absolutely not.
thank you.
That's what you're
But
here for.
people need to know what it feels like to be genuinely happy. Like, go back in your head and think about what, again, that's that body. What did it feel like in my body when I was genuinely happy? I don't care if you got to go back to being 13.
That's right.
Go back and find it. For me, it was when I had this, I was in this healthy chapter of my life. Every morning I would wake up and I would feel sunshine come out of my chest. Every morning. And it's kind of like you realize that things are happening when they're happening, but you don't, when it goes away, you don't really realize it until it happens again. It's just like, oh, I haven't felt that in a while, right? So when I had that good day where I woke up and had that feeling, I said, oh, I used to feel this way all the time. What do I need to do in my life to ensure that at least 90% of my days, I wake up with that
You're
sunshine?
waking up the same way. And the reality is, there's so much evil in this world. I mean, we're seeing it every single day. We don't have a clue what tomorrow's going to look like. We don't know what later today is going to look like now, what's going on, let alone a year, two, three, 4 years. Anyway, we don't know, right? So it's like trying to do what you can to love and protect yourself and the people around you right now is the most we can focus on. You know, it's like we need to fight for what we feel is worth it. And that includes, more importantly, most importantly, yourself. Yes. You can't take care of anybody else properly. You can't be your best self and take care of other people by giving everything to them. And it's such an important message. You need to, I always say, do what makes you happy in an unselfish way, right? Because people hear do what makes you happy and they go, oh, I'm just gonna take care of me and I don't care about anybody else. That's not what it means.
No. There's balance. There has to be balance.
There has to be balance, right? You have to feel like for you, what you're doing for yourself is not just making you happy, but is not being a detriment to anybody else. And there is, it's a balance. And I think that as long as somebody is self-aware enough, they can make that distinction and live genuinely and authentically, you know?
Yeah.
So how do you personally stay motivated and committed to your healing journey? Because we know it's not linear. It comes in waves. And we're not always perfect every day. God knows I had just this weekend, people looked at me and were probably like, damn, she is being a witch today, you know? And I'm like, I'm aware. I'm that self-aware. It doesn't mean I'm changing it at this very moment. That's how I feel. But I'm able to sit back at the end of the day and go, what was causing that?
Yeah, exactly. So to keep me on track, which again, we all have our ups and downs. We have a good day. It's community. I think having your community and being able to talk to people like you. I have a Facebook group.
You do? I just joined it.
No, thank you.
I did.
A codependent me. And there are times that I just go on there and talk about my day. And what's beautiful is that people will respond, I was going through the same thing, or keep your head up, you know, all the things. And it allows me to know that I'm not alone. You're never alone in whatever you're going through, whether you're not the only one having a bad day. You're not the only one having a great day. You're not the only one that's might be so close to depression. You're never ever alone. That's why it's best to always talk about it to someone.
Yeah.
Talk about it. It'll put you back on track.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There are so many moments, I think, in people's lives and ours as well, that, again, it goes back to the way we were raised about not speaking up. That throat chakra stays closed. Mm-hmm. Because the reality is we think people don't understand. You feel in your circle, nobody understands. You have to widen your circle. Sometimes you have to open up that circle and say, oh my goodness, I know this woman lives, for example, in Nashville, right? And I am in New Jersey, right? But it's almost like we were raised a lot of ways exactly the same, and being there to have the same experiences and also different experiences, but help each other along those roads and in all those healing journeys with support. And that's really for anything that, you know, and especially online on Facebook, you can find really like-minded people, you know, with good hearts who are just trying to find like-minded people.
Amen. It's the reason I started it, honestly.
Yeah.
Because so many people around me didn't understand codependency. And, you know, when I went to CODA, which is Codependence Anonymous.
I didn't know that was a thing, by the way. I could have used that.
Yeah,
it's no idea.
It's phenomenal. But the tribe here really wasn't my tribe. It was older white women.
Oh yeah.
That was just all together talking real slow. And I was like, this is making me want to move away from it rather than. So I started my own group through CODA, and it was at that library. It was like 2019 when I did this, and people started coming like from different universities. Professors started knowing about it and started bringing their students, learning more about codependency. Because again, it was just word flying around, but nobody really understood it.
Yeah.
So when the pandemic hit and we couldn't meet in person anymore, that's when I started the podcast.
Mm.
Because that's my community.
That's your community.
And that is, and it's so many people out there in need of help that, you know, that need to know that they matter. But again, you matter and your story matters. That's my tagline.
That's right.
You matter and your story matters. Everybody matters.
Yeah.
They don't know it. That is the biggest problem.
And the thing is, it's hard sometimes. It does. It takes time to find the right community for you. You want people who, it's kind of hard sometimes to listen to some people that you're like, I get that no one is taken away from your journey and your healing. I just can't relate to it in the same way. Mm-hmm. And I have to have people who understand where I'm coming from that I can support the same way, because I just can't relate to this, you know?
And that's okay.
And that's okay.
You know, in life, everybody's not for everybody.
That's right. There's 8 billion people in the world. You can find as many as you need.
Right. And I think that's what's so beautiful. If we would just allow ourselves permission to not have to get along with everyone. It doesn't mean that you hate them. It doesn't mean that, you know,
that's right.
You know, that there's going to be a fight. It's just, you're not my thing. I don't like, you know, pepperoni pizza. It doesn't mean that, you know, pizza should, you know, feel ashamed. It's okay. I like with mushroom. It's all right. You know,
love mushroom too. You know,
we can have that community.
I'm telling you, the mushroom eaters pizza community. I'm down. I love it. I love it. That's really funny. See, and the thing is, I know your podcast has helped so many people. You have so many amazing episodes on there, years and years worth of episodes, you know? And so if you could think back, and this is going to be hard to do, so I'm going to put you on the spot here. Was there a particular guest or a story that really stuck with you?
Mm, yes. A few years back.
Oh, that was easier than I thought.
No, it's because I bring it up a lot, because with the whole codependency thing, because it's a codependent podcast. Hello. I hear a lot of different stories, a lot of different levels of codependency. And one of the things that really hit me, what was her name? I think her last name was Florida. I can't, honestly, I can see her face. She's got purple hair and she's a beautiful woman.
So there you go. You want something you wouldn't forget anyway.
Exactly. She told me that in her codependency that she was so, people pleasing with her husband, that somebody asked her one day what her favorite color was, and she couldn't remember.
Oof.
Asked her what her favorite meal was. It couldn't come to mind, but she could tell you what his favorite color,
God,
his favorite meal was. She said she was so, she people pleased so much.
That she didn't even know who she was.
She did not know who she was. Oof. I've never heard it to that level where you don't, like, I don't know what their favorite color is.
What? That's wild.
I was like, I think it's purple.
Right. I was gonna say it's probably purple, but you know, we all experiment, so maybe not.
Yes. So it pulled my heartstrings when she said that.
That is wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is literally engulfing yourself into some, morphing yourself into somebody else.
Melted herself down and poured herself over her husband. Everything that he wanted her to be.
Oh my goodness. That's heartbreaking.
It is.
And you know what? Up to this point now, I hope she's been able to really work through that, because that is, you know, we've all had moments, whether it's our husbands, our kids, our parents, our friends, who knows, every relationship, where we turn into people that we don't know who we are, and we lose parts of ourselves. But to be that just lost.
She's doing really good. She's doing really good.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So that always jumps in. But yeah, I have some magnificent, including the one, let's be clear, the one last week with you.
It
was just like, oh my gosh. It was just phenomenal. You were so open, transparent, so beautiful.
Thank you. Oh my God. Thank you so much.
My family was like, oh, I could kick it with her. I was like, yeah, I know.
For real. Hello. I said, I've never been to Nashville, but it is on the list, girl.
Come on.
Although, to be honest, I might be taking a road trip, because
I know, right?
It's only about 12 hours.
My goodness.
Steer clear of anything else for a while.
That's right. And so they get it together.
Ooh, that's right. I'm good. But thank you so much, because I started laughing. I was listening back. I was like, oh my God. But what I did tell my sister And I think she remembers, she told me she listened to it or she's getting around to whatever the case may be. And I said, oh my God, Gina, I was like, I didn't realize, but it was the most I've ever told of my actual story in one place. I mean, obviously with a lot of other little
Right,
details
and
out,
piecing
right?
together.
Yeah, but because in my podcast, and this one that you're wonderfully on, I talk of things, but little bits at a time. I tell stories here and there, but not into as much depth. And when I heard it back, all these other things in between came back to me. And I was like, oh my gosh, all the things that I felt I should have seen, all the things that I said, how do you get to this point twice? Right? I was like, it was wild to me listening to it back. But it was also one of the most empowering moments I've ever had. And I've been guest on other podcasts where I talk about things and whatever. But for me, it was one of the most empowering that I've ever been on because I felt able to say to myself, again, you got to be comfortable with this because you wanted to put your story out there because you know for a fact other people can relate.
Absolutely. And there was specific people that I sent it to because they're going through currently where you are. So absolutely keep telling it. That's again, you have to talk about it. You have to be real about it. It may be things that you want to sweep under the cover. No, rip that cover off. No, tell it
I would
because
say if I
you
wrote a
are not
book,
the only one.
I would say if I wrote a book, my exes would want to be dead if I wrote that book because they would, it's not like people that know me don't know who they are.
Right,
They would be like, my mother would want to be also. She'd be like, I don't want that stuff out there. They know you're my child, So tell me, also in that vein, what was for you, what is the most rewarding part of hosting the Codependent Me podcast?
meeting phenomenal people.
Amen.
I have met the most amazing people all over the world. I mean, I reach out to this woman in Hong Kong. I've got guys in Australia and Iceland and just people wanting to tell their, it's just
I love that.
so blessed. I am so blessed. It blesses my soul every time I meet someone. I'm excited to get on the other side to see who else is there because you never know what the connection will be. A woman the other day, she said, you didn't say a word and I fell in love with you. I was
That's
like,
exactly it. I understand completely. Yes. You're like, what just happened here? I just bared my soul to a stranger, and I just was the most comfortable I've ever been in my
It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. And I don't, and I have to say that in itself is a gift from God because people have always been that way with me. My husband used to be upset. We'd be in a line at Walgreens, and a woman would turn around and like start telling me about her day. And he'll go, "What do you do to people?" I'm like, I don't know, but
And that's funny because I think that we have that in common where my dad would sit there saying to me, you know why? Because people would just come to me all the time. My dad said, you should be a therapist as a therapist. I don't want to. I was like, I got enough issues in my own soul. I was like, I can't take on the world stuff. I was like, I need a different therapist for each day of the
know.
week if I was a therapist,
I
But
know.
it's true. It's true. Sometimes you just have a personality. And I definitely feel that with you, just this personality that makes you want to be engaging, that makes you want to be your authentic self.
Right. And you want to get some things off of your chest because most times I don't have to say a word. Well, and that's what's so beautiful about my coaching is I can guide people, but most times that very first session, they feel free just because they're able to get things off of their chest.
I could see that.
Because I am nobody. They can tell me whatever they want to. And there is no judgment. And they feel the love. And then they can get to the next time and then the next time. And then we can come up with certain things that can build them up. You know what I mean? I'm so grateful with the place that I am in my life right now. God is truly, truly blessed me to be able to show my gifts and for people, and it's so healing for me.
Yes, it's cathartic.
Oh, yes.
It's so cathartic. It really, really is.
Yes. I
So
agree.
tell me, the audience, who I'm sure is enraptured right now, realistically. But what's next for you and the Codependent Me podcast? Any exciting projects or future goals? Anything going on that you want to let the audience know about?
I am working now on doing courses on codependency, on just the whole course of this is where I am, this is where I need to be. I'm working on courses on boundaries where they can be. I do classes where it's live, but I'm going to do some online courses.
Wow.
And oh my goodness. The other thing that I'm so very proud of, next week, I'm going to Milwaukee, which is my hometown.
Oh.
And I work with a group home on a podcast.
That's awesome.
Yes. They are these beautiful young ladies. And last year I went and built a studio for them. And so we have times where they come up with the subjects and they have this beautiful podcast. And these babies, again, they have been through, we talk about we had life. They had, when we were talking about certain subjects, you know, human trafficking comes up. These kids are like 12, 13. Things that I didn't know about until I was an adult, but this is the life that they're living.
Oh, right? My God.
So to sit back and know the children are in the spaces that they're in, it's so important to get their story out. And their podcast is called the Catch It Podcast.
Thank you. I was going to say, please send me the info. I want to hear it. I want to post it.
I will.
Oh, my goodness. That's beautiful. Yeah,
so it's, you know, and of course, it's very raw.
Of course.
They're not, you know, they're not going to sit back and try to speak correctly and be all prim and proper.
No, they're kids. They're going to say exactly they're thinking.
Right. And they've been through some shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they've lived some things. Mm. So that's one of the biggest things that I'm so very proud of, to do the work with them. But as far as me, I've got lots of programs for my coaching. I love doing the coaching. I love it so much. That's it right now, you know, other than, you know, I got the, of course we've got the nonprofit and, you know, this and that and all of that.
Yeah, but you are a busy lady. I thought I was a busy lady. Woo, you are a busy lady, but you're putting that message out there and you are helping people. And that alone, to use your talents for that, is such a beautiful, beautiful blessing to be able to do.
It is my honor to be able to be a servant for God's people, to be honest.
Amen. I wish you so much good in this life, because there's so much bad. We have to take it where we can get it and give it and put it out there. You know what I mean?
I agree.
So I have one last question for you.
Absolutely.
If you could leave our listeners with one powerful message or nugget about healing and growth, what would it be?
It would be, know that you are worthy of love. Mm-hmm. Know that you matter and your story matters. That's it. Gotta get there. Gotta know. You have to know that you are worthy of love, mm-hmm. because you are. And the biggest person who needs to love you is you.
Is you.
Okay.
It starts with you.
Absolutely. And it ends with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's your greatest love story.
Oh my gosh. When I looked at myself and I said, I am so in love. I want everyone to feel that.
Oh.
I want everyone to feel that. It is beautiful. It doesn't mean that I feel like I'm perfect.
Hell no.
It means that I love me unconditionally.
And you'll never forget who you are again.
No.
Mm-mm. That's the important piece. Once you know who you are, you can start to feel yourself slipping away.
Yes.
When it happens, and you can say, absolutely not, and bring that back.
That's right. Bring it back. Get it together, ma'am.
Tamala, wow, what a conversation. Your wisdom, your vulnerability, and your passion for helping others heal is just so inspiring. It really is.
Thank you so much.
And thank you,
my love. It is just a mirror, because you do the same thing.
Oh, thank you. From your mouth to God's ears.
Yes.
I'm trying. And listening to you and feeling your openness, like I said, it made me like, oh, like all of a sudden I'm like, whoa. I heard it back. I was like, oh my God. So it was, it's the energy. It's your energy. I work off of energy, and you can feel it even through the screen. So such a blessing. And to our audience, if today's episode resonated with you, know that healing is possible. Change is within reach, and no matter how far you've gone down a path of codependency, you are not stuck. You are worthy of love, boundaries, and a life that feels good to you. Again, Tamla, thank you for sharing your journey and for reminding us all that recovery is a daily commitment, but one that leads to freedom, joy, and self-love.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you. And so all of our Prosecco Queens family listening, if you connected with this episode, be sure to check out the Codependent Me podcast, where Tamla dives even deeper into these life-changing conversations. I will have all of her information on the show notes about how you can reach her. And of course, check out her pods and all the other wonderful things that she's about and doing. DM me, share this episode, and if you haven't already, subscribe and leave a review. Join me next week, where we have a special panel episode with three queens, former guests to the show in different stages of their journeys, where we will be discussing all things we consider a tribute to the perfect pressure as women, and especially women of a certain age. I want to hear from you. I can be reached on all social media at Prosecco Queens Podcast. I can be reached via email at Teresa. Look, I'm giving the wrong one. ProseccoQueensPodcast@gmail.com. And you can also listen to these episodes on YouTube and subscribe at Prosecco Queens Podcast. So until next time, keep healing, keep growing, and most importantly, keep pouring into yourself. Peace out.
Woke up today, smile on my face, may not go my way, still got my faith, so I'll be okay. I'll be okay, I'll be okay. Running our race, just that I pace, made some mistakes, but learned a few things, so I'll be okay. I'll be okay, I'll be okay. Yeah, yeah, I've been through it all, I've been through it all. Looking at Goliath at the stand tall. My heart, it feel like David every time I fall. My problems look like giants, I'ma slay them all. Every single beef, I had to let it be. Spend a lot of time wasting energy. That ain't made sense to me logically. But I feel way better when I walk in peace. Please don't bring the gossip to me. I mean, no offense, I'm finding out jealousy, only a lack of